To the book of 3rd John, 3rd epistle of John. 3rd John, we're going to read the entire epistle. It's only one chapter long. It's not that, only 14 verses. But I want to focus on one particular verse. But 3rd John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, our Father, we do thank you for the Word of God today, and our Lord, I just pray again and ask you to help me to be a blessing. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts, and you know the things that about us that we ourselves won't even acknowledge. Lord, we just pray that you'd work in our hearts, open our eyes to truth, and bless your people, we pray. Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, there's many things we could talk about in that passage of Scripture, but one verse caught my eye, and that is in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And you know, like I said, when we were in the Sunday school hour, many times we look at the Bible and we look at the vessel that God used to transmit the Word of God to us, and we kind of tend to have this attitude to say, well, this is what John thought, or this is what Paul thought, or this is what Peter thought, or this is what Moses thought, or this is what David thought, whatever the case may be. But we have to understand that it's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so when God used the Apostle John to pen this letter, he wasn't just recording John's sentiments. It's the Word of God. In other words, so what it talks about is what God says. And he says, it's not just John saying this. It's God saying, it's the Lord Jesus saying, it's the Holy Spirit saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So I'd like to just take a little time and talk to you about how to give joy to God. How to give joy. How to give joy to God. You know, God is a person. He made us in His image. And so many of these things that we take for granted as being part of our humanity were actually modeled on Him. This is who he is. He has joy in things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue on. Father, again, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I don't know why I just felt led to pray again, and I just pray and ask that you'd help us. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know all things, and you know we need your help. So help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we talk about giving God joy, it's not really a way that we think. We tend to think in terms of God doing things for us because, and in a very real sense, that's kind of normal because we're so needy. You know, sometimes we default to the baser side of our nature, and we see ourselves, even as Christians, we see ourselves as being so needy, and we don't think in terms of being a blessing to God. You know, the idea of living a life just to be a blessing to the one that we're supposed to love supremely. You know, I've got three dogs at the house, and they are needy puppies. All right, I got them there for work. Boy, when I walk out the door, one of them comes up and he'll get up there right by me, and the other one tries to get between me and him. And if I have all three of them out there, every step I take, they're trying to get between. If I go to pet one, the other one's trying to worm his way in there. I mean, they're just needy. And sometimes we get to thinking that way. We get to acting like, well, I need this from God. I need that from God. I need this. And the simple fact is, you know, our Christian life, our purpose is to give glory to God. We were created for His pleasure. And you know, one of the greatest things that we could ever do is get our lives and our attitudes and our hearts right with just realizing what our purpose on this earth is for. We're here to bring Him joy. God saves souls so that they can be redeemed. He redeems souls, right? To redeem means to what? To buy back. To put it back into the proper place. And you heard me tell the story. I'm going to tell it again just because I like it so much. I like the story so much. But there's a little boy that... you remember the little boy? He had made himself a boat and everything. He made him a boat and everything, and he worked with his daddy, and he'd made a boat or bought a boat. Can't remember all the details and everything like that. And he was out there playing one day, and he had a little stream there, and all of a sudden the water was moving faster because it had been raining, and the water was moving fast, he made the boat, that's what it was. He made the boat, built the boat with his daddy and everything. They took the time and made it, and you know, just made it. And he was out there playing with it, and the stream took it down the creek and down into the river. He lost it. And he felt really bad. And so he went into the town, the next town over, and he looked up in this little shop that they were selling things, and he walked in there and he saw his boat, and it had a price tag on it. And he said to the man, he said, "Mister," he said, "that's my boat." And the man said, "No, son, that's my boat." And he said, "No, mister, you don't understand." He said, "I built that boat. I made that boat." And he said, "Well, son, you don't understand something either." He said, "I found that boat. That boat's mine. You lost it. You might have lost it, but I found it. That boat's mine. If you want that boat, you're going to have to pay for it." And so the little boy went out and he went out and started doing chores and trying to find ways to earn the money, and he worked and he worked and he come back in, and he finally came out and slapped the money down and said, "Mister, I want my boat." And he said to that boat, he was sitting there hugging that boat, and he said, "Boat, I made you and I bought you. You are doubly mine." And that's what, that's us. That's the picture of us. God's our creator and our redeemer, isn't he?
Yeah.
And we were redeemed to come back to the place where God, and the purpose for which God created us. And this whole idea about the Christian life is just getting back to that place, to becoming what God created us to be. And we were created for his pleasure, for his purpose, for his plan. He's the creator. And so he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." And so I started thinking about that and saying, what does it mean to walk in truth? And I started looking through the scripture about the Bible talking about us walking and how to walk. And there's really a bunch of places in the Bible that it talks about there. In the Old Testament, Israel was admonished to walk in His ways. They were admonished to walk in His ordinances. They were admonished to walk in His statutes, to walk in His commandments. And I was just thinking about that, and so I thought about all that, and I said, you know what? I just want to take a look at the New Testament. What does the New Testament say in this regard? And so I want to take a few times, and we'll take a little tour through some spaces in the New Testament. But you know, he says there on this one thing, he does tell us not to do. He tells us Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. In the vanity of their mind. In other words, most people out there, they walk in the vanity of their mind. They have these thoughts, and they are supremely important, that they themselves are supremely important. You wonder why so many people are just flat out rude these days? It's because they're all thinking about themselves. They're the only ones that matter. That's where a lot of people are. And you got to be careful about that. We don't walk in the vanity of our mind. We don't put ourselves up as being so important. And this is the way they were in that regard. And in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So we don't want to walk in darkness. Several other passages that admonish us to turn away from the darkness, to not walk in darkness. See, God has translated us out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Alright? He's made His light, the light of the gospel, to shine unto us. You know, God shined in our hearts. We're supposed to walk in light. In other words, obviously, we're not to walk in darkness. We're not walk in the same way. So that vanity, that darkness of the world, that darkness of self-will, I could go in great detail of that. But when he says to walk in truth, obviously, the first thing is to walk in the Word of God, right? Because Thy word is truth. But what does that mean? Obviously, we need to understand the working of the Word of God. We need to understand the Word. And he says over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? So we have that picture of the word of God and walking in truth, the word of God being truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we have that picture to look at, and that commandment and that expectation, if you will. But I was just looking at this idea of walking. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, so that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're supposed to walk in newness of life. The Bible tells us that we're to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We're to walk in newness of life. You know, sometimes we make our profession of faith and we start trying to walk, and there's always this tendency to lapse back into what we know. How we were raised. Right? How we've always done things. We call that backsliding, don't we? And some of us don't get the chance to backslide because we never let go. But we're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk in a way that says, hey, my entire life is supposed to be new. What does the scripture say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's something we need to understand. To walk in truth, the first thing is the Bible tells us that we are a new creation in Christ. We're to walk in the newness of life. Our purpose for living, everything that we are supposed to be different. So to walk in newness of life, not in the old way, not in the vanity of our mind, not as other Gentiles walk. And then in the book of Galatians, we're told also to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so secondly, when we talk about walking in the truth, there's the element of learning to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Because what is the Spirit going to do? What is his purpose, and what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to guide us in and lead us into all truth, right? Jesus said, he'll take of mine and shall show it unto you. He'll bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you. Once again, I don't mind sounding like a broken record on this. That he's talking about the word of God. He'll bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you. If you don't read your Bible and study, you're not giving the Spirit of God something to work with in your life. That's why Bible reading is so important. You can't remember what you have never heard or read. Reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God gives the Spirit of God tools, the basic tool to work in your life, to make a difference. And you have to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit means obviously yielding yourself. You're walking the direction He wants you to go. And that's something that has to be learned. So to walk in newness of life, we're supposed to walk in the truth of who we are. We're no longer lost and separated from God. Now children of God. We have a new life. We're a new creature, a new creation. We're supposed to learn to yield to the Spirit of God, to hear and know when the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And say yes. Then he also says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are to walk in good works. Not dead works, good works. Works that are done, we're not trying to justify ourselves before God, but works that are done out of gratitude and love and obedience to God, just simply saying, I want to please the Lord. So I'm going to do that which is good. I'm going to do the works that God says that I'm supposed to do. And so, you know, we look at that and we see that. And so often, that's where we fail. So many things that we do, we don't do them in the proper way. We don't do, and by the way, when we talk about good works, we're talking about works of faith. Because the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So whatever we do, we're supposed to do trusting God, believing on Him. By the way, a lot of times we quit doing good works because we just don't think there's any profit in it. That's because we're not looking at heaven, we're looking at earth. Something to think about. Then he says in another place, he says in Ephesians 5:2, he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. Now that's an amazing passage in itself. It's talking about Christ, but there's the example for us. When we talk about Christ, he gave himself for us. Scripture says in 1 John, greater love hath no man that he give his life for his friends, right? And so we're supposed to follow that example. And so we see that picture. We're supposed to walk in love. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it tells us that in verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we're supposed to walk in love just as Christ gave himself for us. He loved us. He gave himself for us. His love was demonstrated by the thing that he did, by his action. The book of John, 1 John, has a lot to say about people that hate their brothers, don't they? They're in darkness. Something to think about. And all of this that I'm talking about is about to go back to the central point. I mentioned the book of Ephesians has a lot to do about walking, but Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So we're to walk in wisdom, not man's wisdom, God's wisdom. The wisdom of the Word of God. All of these things go back to walking in truth. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, toward the lost. That's what he's talking about there. Redeeming the time. That tells us something about our relationship with the lost. We should walk in wisdom toward them in God's Word because our time is short. We have to redeem the time. Told that we're to redeem the time because the days are evil in another place. But the simple fact is, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The time that we have to interact with the lost in this world is necessarily limited. Therefore, we need to take advantage of it. That's the whole focus of soul winning and missions and all the things that we're supposed to do when it comes to dealing with the lost, and also realizing that we need to deal with them after godly wisdom. And then again, First John chapter 1, we talked about chapter 1 verse 6 earlier, and 1 John 1:7 says, but if we, you know, 1 John 1:6, we talked about, if we say if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. And so as God gives us light and understanding of the word of God, we're supposed to walk in the light. You know, by the way, let me just say this about walking in the light. You know, we have in a long, long time, for many, especially in Baptist circles, we have the old time-honored tradition of the mourner's bench or the altar and everything, and inviting people to come and confess their sins and get right with God, or come to get saved, or whatever the case would be. When we talk, especially when we talk about revivals and things like that, and you know, that's part of walking in the light. When God says something's sin, we ought to say, "Yep, you're right. It's sin. It's wrong. I need to confess it and forsake it." And we need to believe God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's part of walking in the light. Matter of fact, that's the starting point, isn't it? Can't walk in the light if you're holding on to sin, can you? Something to think about. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then as we talked about in the morning Sunday school, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. 2 John verse 6, this is the commandment that as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. This is love, that we walk in His commandments. So there again, you see the Word of God, you see the picture there. And we can go back to all the things that are talked about in the Old Testament about walking in His statutes, walking in His commandments, walking in His ways. There's the exhortation, I believe it's in Isaiah, this is the way, walk ye in it. So we go through the scriptures that talk about it, and there are literally hundreds of scriptures that admonish us to walk after His commandments, to walk in His ways, to walk after His ordinances, walk after His statutes. And they're repeated in the New Testament. But it all comes down to one simple principle. God says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so the question I'd have for you this morning is, does your walk bring God joy? Or better yet, is your walk bringing God joy? You know, it's an amazing thing when we go through the Old Testament. We see a lot of things. We see a lot of principles and everything there that are shown out. You remember one time you have the story of Uzzah. Uzzah was a priest. He was of the member of the Kohathites. And if you go in the Old Testament law, the Kohathites, they were not supposed to go into the holiest of all. They weren't supposed to go in. They weren't even supposed to see and look upon the implements of the tabernacle. The sons of Aaron would go in, cover everything up, and then they had staves made of gopher wood overlaid with gold. And they, each one of the items of the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the candle, the basin, all the things that were inside the holiest of all, inside the Holy of Holies, they all would be covered, and they would put these staves in, and the sons of Kohath, the Kohathites, they would take and carry those things. And then you have the place when the ark was captured by the Philistines, and they're bringing it back, and they're bringing it back on an ox cart. And they're violating the way God said the ark was supposed to be done. And they have the ark there, and they've got it on an ox cart, and then all of a sudden, they're there, and the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reaches out to put his hand on the Ark of the Covenant to stop it from falling into the dirt, or from tipping over, whatever the case may be. And the moment he touches that, God smites him dead. A lot of people don't understand why God would do that. I mean, after all, he was only trying to help, right? But he'd already violated multiple commandments. And the ox were doing God's will. And the wood had not sinned against God, nor had the dirt. But there was one whose touch could defile, and that was the touch of man. It was Uzzah. Uzzah's sin of presumption. And they had already violated multiple commandments already about what God had said the ark was supposed to be. And Uzzah, being one of the Kohathites whose purpose it was to transport these things, should have known better. God showed that picture there. Uzzah just didn't do what he knew to do. Did he? God gives us some examples, but the simple fact is, you know, the bringing God joy is actually a very easy thing. It's just a matter of walking in truth. You know, sometimes we get on the charismatics and everything like that because I'm a child of the king type thing, and they got this idea of rebuking this and rebuking that and claiming this and claiming that, and all these people but you know, there is a truth in there that we ought to understand. That we are no longer who we were. Therefore, our lives should be different. We are a new creation. We are a child of the King. Our life is supposed to change. And you know, the amazing thing is that God is so gracious with us. God has actually executed judgment in many cases, in the case of Uzzah, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, right? How many times have God done things, and we have passages in the Scripture where God, for His purpose, has judged people for sins, for things that were wrong, and yet He hadn't dealt with us that way. Praise the Lord. He's patient with us, isn't He? He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But you know something? That we ought to, when we look at the Word of God and we read that, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. I know God can see everything, and I understand. But the sentiment there and the attitude and the message there is not just about the Apostle John. It's about God. It's about what He desires, what gives Him joy. When's the last time you thought that your purpose was to give joy to God? You know, it's an amazing thing when we look at the book of Hebrews again. When we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 and verse 3, actually go down to verse 4. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," talking about those that went before us in the testimony they left us in Hebrews chapter 11. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." The Bible says that Jesus went to Calvary's cross and endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, our redemption. And you know what? We can give joy back to him. We can give joy back to him. Just very simple. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Is there a place where you're not walking in the truth of God's word? Wouldn't it be good if you just changed your direction, changed your tune, if you will, and just decided whatever this thing was, you're just going to start doing it God's way. You're going to start dealing with this particular issue in your life that you know is wrong, and you're just going to do it, start dealing with that after the manner that the Bible tells you to deal with it. It could be dealing with a husband, a wife, it could be family or friends, it could be business, it could be anything. Every time you and I forsake our own way, or forsake the way of the world, and forsake the vanity of our mind and say, "God's word is true." Like the psalmist said, "Therefore I esteem thy..." He said, "I esteem thy word above all everything else, and I hate every false way." I'm trying to remember the proper the actual quote. But if we would just say, you know what, God's way is right. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what anybody else says, but God's way is right. I'm just going to do things God's way. I'm just going to yield myself to the word of God, to the Spirit of God, and I'm going to the best of my ability, I'm just going to do this thing the way God says to do it. I'm going to handle my money the way God says to. I'm going to teach my family the way God says to. I'm going to work my job the way God says to. I'm going to go down the list of things. I'm going to deal with a loss the way God says to. I'm going to change my television based upon what God says. I just go on. I mean, by the way, probably one of the greatest things you could do with the television set to please God is hit that little off switch. I'll probably get rid of that. Probably do you a lot better. Replace it with the Word of God, something good. But simple fact, I know that might be a sacred cow these days. Oh, mess with my television, you're meddling, everything. Well, I mean, I thought that thing belonged to God. But anyway, that's between you and the Lord, right? But simple fact is that we ought to just want to find ways to bring God joy. Just bring God joy. How do you do that? Just walk in truth. Just walk in truth. That brings God joy. So simple, isn't it? So easy. And why wouldn't we want to bring Him joy? after he's done so much for us. Amen? Why wouldn't we want to bring him joy? Very easy thing. Just walk in the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out the service. Father, you know every heart. You know every need. Lord, you know the heart of each person here, and you know the things that we're ashamed of, and you know the things that we esteem too much and too greatly of this world. You know all things. And Lord, you know how easy it is for us to become self-important and think that we're the measure and end of all things, and that our desires and our wants are most important. Lord, so often we're in great need of you and wanting you to do for us, and you're so faithful. Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We forget that we are created for your pleasure, and our purpose is to bring you joy. So Lord, help us to walk in the truth so that we can bring you the joy that we ought to bring. Lord, help us to desire to know and understand the right way of doing everything. The way to handle any situation. And Lord, it may be that the first thing we need to do to walk in the truth is simply humble ourselves and ask your forgiveness for our failure to walk in the light. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless each one as we study the Word of God as in our daily lives, and help us not only to see the truth, but Lord, we need the grace to do the truth, to walk in truth. Lord, you've provided that as well, and we thank you for it. Lord, help us to just simply live by faith and walk in thy truth. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.